Before we jump in, a warning that we are an explicit book podcast.
Yes, that means swearing, shitty jokes, and a whole lot of dark humour that some may take offence to.
Please check your trigger warnings on all of the books we cover.
You've been warned.
The episode starts in 3, 2, 1.
A book and a bear.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of A Book and a Bev. We are your regular co-hosts, Bryony and Georgia, and this week we are joined by a very, very special guest. All the way from Bookstagram, we are joined by Emily's Booked Up. Well, obviously Emily, but you know what I mean.
I am a very loud and obnoxious librarian who loves reading fantasy smart and romance smart and all things smart, really.
Love it. Absolutely.
I have full range.
Closed door to Conquered by Cookie.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like you'll fit right in and we're extremely lucky to have you.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, this week we're dead. Straight up, we're just deceased. We all necked some weird ass berries as we wanted to fuck the Grim Reaper and now we're unsure if we shall succeed. Nonetheless, we are here and this week we're covering Belladonna by Adeline Grace.
Well, getting right into it. Chuck us some berries. Bend us over. Call it a day.
I don't know what that laugh was that came out of me, but I'm not questioning it at this stage. What are we drinking this week?
I am drinking a Swanning Around rosé.
Nice.
Oh,
same. Hashtag influencer.
Hashtag she works in the biz. She's connected.
Well, I have had a rotten headache literally all day. So I'm currently drinking a sugary drink to try to give me a little bit of energy. I cannot drink alcohol right now because I think my brain might actually implode. So I'm just drinking a little vanilla Coke.
Love that for you.
Thanks.
Honestly. In honor of the bird references and the berry, so it's got the bird, it's got the berry, I'm drinking a Rainbird brand blackberry seltzer.
Yum.
Jeez.
She's on thing.
Really gone on brand, yeah.
Fuck it up. We tried this week.
Hey, we both got the bird, so we're good.
We got the bird.
Yeah, the bird, bird, bird.
Bird. The bird is a word. Da, 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 da. Anyways, I'm so sorry. Okay, guys, well, general vibes for the book.
Well, Percy, you little fucking trickster, you. I honestly really enjoyed this book. It took me a while to get into it. It felt like she was trying to test me because she kept being a right little fucking butt cheek to death. My sweet, handsome, beautiful, deadly daddy. Death. Honestly, it's fine because in the end she came around and that's all I'm here for, okay? The winner of this book, though, was 100% Daddy Death. No surprises here. I'm feral for death, full stop. Like, please send me out. Got super dark then.
I actually want to die.
Die, yeah. Tee.
End it.
But I didn't see the killer coming. I was thrown off on like many different wild goose chases, but I did see that Silas was dead. That I saw coming because I was like, this bitch better fucking not cheat on my man death. And then I was like, hold on a damn fucking minute. Something's not adding up here. It's a bit fishy. But anyway, it was a good book. It was a great book, actually. The FMC did annoy me a little bit, but death, my man, my dude, my hunky man, yes, full stop, that's it. Is it.
I just want to circle back to the right little butt cheek.
Mm, not the left one.
Not the left, specifically the right, okay? Cool.
Right.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm surprised that I sat on this book for so damn long. Death, I love you. It's a bit morbid, but whatever. I definitely also saw some twists coming, but the killer got me good. Like, I wasn't expecting it at all. And Death and Silas being the same person, to me, was so obvious, but it was the scones that confirmed it. And I'll get to that later. But, like, holy fuck, considering this book was fade to black, I honestly found myself absolutely feral, again, like you, over their touches. I needed a cold shower after that shadow scene. God damn.
Shadow!
To be honest, Signa pissed me off a bit, but I wonder if that's because I listened to the audiobook and the narrator made her like more annoying.
Oh.
But I was just like, come on, stop being surprised that death kills people. Like, let the man do his job without judgment.
I know.
He's like, just trying to get an income.
Right? He has ambition. Let him commit. I had a feeling the end would be a cliffhanger and because it, you know, wrapped up a little bit too nicely at the end. But can we appreciate the fact that death literally took the life of a man at the end just so he could fuck his girl?
Yeah.
What I would give for that sort of commitment. Overall, loved it. We'll read the next book. Can also confirm I am now horny for death.
Yes, slay.
Absolutely. Well, what in the glorious gothic Pride and Prejudice is this book? This is one of those stories that hinges on like the intimacy of a near touch and like, damn, I am here for it. The way that I froth over the mildest of hand holding is filthy. Honestly, like, what a glorious book. I did see some of the twists coming, but I still loved every second of this. The world building was phenomenal, character motivations made sense, and the magical laws of the world were consistent. And like, honestly, I just want more. It's not the spiciest book to exist, and very much reminds me of like Addie LaRue or Night Circus in the way that like intimacy and romance are described. But it was like super beautiful, and hopefully book two, which has recently come out, will deliver more explicit spice because I really need it. I just need that Grim Reaper daddy to just get on in my crevices, respectfully.
No, disrespectfully. Fuck me up, son.
Yeah, I was just saying disrespect.
Oh, golly gosh. Let's dive into the book. Who are our bitches? Signe Farrow, taking the whole orphan FMC angle to a whole new level. Bitch doesn't know how to stay dead, and we love that for her, honestly. She also has heterochromia eyes, so that's really cool, because growing up I always wanted to have that. It's like, you're a 10, you're now a 15. We have death, which I mean is self-explanatory. Death.
Yeah, death. Full stop. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have Silas, who is it a groomsman?
A barn hand.
A barn hand?
Stable hand.
Stable hand.
I was like, what is that word?
Barn.
Barn hand.
A wood building that houses horses.
A barn hand. He's actually just got a barn as a hand.
Yeah, none. Silas, he's a super normal, superhuman boy with no other odd qualities.
The basic. Hawthorns,
yeah, he's very basic, actually. The Hawthorns, you know, we've got Elijah, who is a traumatized widower daddy. We've got Blythe, who is a traumatized dying sister. Percy, who is traumatized privileged white man brother. And Lillian, who's their super dead mom, sad face. And then we've got Marjorie, who wants to be mum made human.
Mum made human. It's like mum made, as in like turned into a human, but no, yeah. It's actually mum, as in mum. Made, like as in Dusting. Made the help.
As in she the help, yeah.
Human. All right, we start with the prologue, which actually starts with my least favorite thing in the universe, which is a baby crying. A baby named Signe Farrow, which, to be frank, is an odd fucking name, but we won't judge it because it's a wee baby. The mother decides to turn into Michael Jackson, dangling his child from the window. She looks like Michael Jackson. So she does. She's like, look at my little pretty creature. And I thought, like, the baby had literally just been born, but you'd fucking hope not. You'd hope it was at least cut off from the umbilical cord, because she's just parading it around. Woo! Oh, my God, a lasso. She's just hooking people in. She's hooking all the men in, you know?
Oh, my God.
God, with the child on the umbilical cord. It's fine. Someone literally says this, which is, she'll be like her mother, I'm sure, feasting on the hearts of unsuspecting suitors in no time. Now, this would be extra fucking weird, especially if the child was still connected to the cord. She's barely made it out and she's already eating the hearts of unsuspecting victims. It's just this tiny little baby covered in blood, still connected to the cord, and it's just like,
I'm hungry for men.
Absolutely not. Child, stand down. So it turns out the baby can sense death, because death has come for the household. For the rich, it's like the submarine all over again. It turns out that the wine was poisoned. Turns out the wine was poisoned. Everyone beside the baby is dead, including Michael Jackson.
Did we ever find out why they all died? Good.
It's just good for the plot line. No other details.
I think so.
Brilliant. It was Michael Jackson.
It was Michael Jackson.
Just sent everyone into cardiac arrest.
Like,
Anyway, death is very fascinated by the baby, because when he touches people normally, he sees their past, but with her, he sees her future. And it's not in a fucking weird way. But he
it's
goes
not in a pedophile way.
He's not being fucking weird. He's not being dirty. He's just trying to kill her, you know?
He's trying to kill her, but he's not a pedophile.
Yeah. No. He's just trying to kill an infant. Different. God. He's just trying to do his job.
He's a working class man.
Single mom who works two jobs.
True though. It fits. When he touches her, he sees her future. So he goes up to her, tries to kill her, but in like touching her, she doesn't die. He sees her life. Beautiful. Brilliant. Over the next chapter, Algal just wants to see death, and death follows her around. She's died a couple of times, but hasn't actually died. She just jumps back up and keeps fucking going like a cockroach. But she keeps trying to see him by trying to yeet the fucking chat. We get this quote. His presence was intoxicating and familiar, and it took Signa by surprise, as it always did. Writhing shadows cast into the vague shape of a human so dark and void of light that it was painful to look at him. And yet, looking at him was all Signa could do, all she could ever do. She was drawn to him like a moth to a flame, and so, it seemed, was he to her. Beautiful, poetic, we love that for her. We then learn death has a sexy voice. Signa says, don't say my name upon death's tongue. It sounds like a curse. Death says, your name is no curse, little bird. I just like the taste of it.
Dead. On the ground. I'm like, Signa, move the fuck out the way.
Yes. Yes. Nom fucking nom.
Fuck me.
But, absolutely. If he wants to taste my fucking name, I'll give him more to taste. I'll bend right over. He thinks my name tastes nice. You just fucking wait till you taste my coochie. Her aunt thinks Algal is the devil and ends up storming into her room when she's mid-convo with Death himself, and Algal is grabbed by the hair, and she ends up like grabbing her aunt's shoulders and sends her magic finger powers flowing through her body. Dirty joke, maybe? No. No. Not no fucking aunt. Your aunties. Nope. We're not fucking your aunties.
Absolutely not.
About this.
But yes, auntie is dead. Algal is convinced it's Death's fault, but he's like, babes, wait a couple days and I promise I'll show you I ain't the enemy. So he fast the fuck forward as quick as we can, because personally I need them to fuck like yesterday. And she's being collected by a rich relative, and then we meet Silas Thorley, the stable boy sent to collect her. And stable boy sounds shitty, so we're gonna call him a stable hand. Stable man.
Not barn hand.
Barn hand. So we go on our merry way and we learn that Lillian was the mother of the household, and she's dead.
D-E-D dead.
Yeah. And Elijah is the daddy of the household. He's grieving dead mummy. Elijah has been throwing parties for months since his wife died, because YOLO. And Percy, cousin, but not like Creedence cousin, is pissed. We meet Blythe, which is Elijah's dying daughter. Our girl lets slip that mummy is dead, and Blythe flips her fucking lid. Our girl ends up touching her, and then Blythe starts coughing blood. And great, this is why consent fucking exists, Signa. You need to not fucking touch people without their consent.
Because they'll start coughing up blood.
Exactly. Oh dear. But luckily, no one decided to cark it that night. Double thumbs up. And our girl gets a visit from Lillian. She wants our girl to go to the garden and save her. Okay. Thanks for that. You can't be more fucking specific, you fucking bitch.
Bit vague.
This is what I don't fucking like. Every time someone comes in, they're just like, you know, go this way and you'll help someone deep in the dark abyss. And it's like, well, who the fuck will I save? And why would I go in there without any more details? I'm not fucking stupid.
She is, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. She is. True. Yeah. Yeah. Which is why I had a real big fucking issue with her. She really just...
I feel that.
It wouldn't have taken much for her to get to the level of Amelia from Kingdom of the Wicked.
Oh, I fucking hate that bitch. Lillian is singing.
Lillian is singing. In the garden.
I just can't help sometimes. Anyway, Lillian just keeps bugging our girl. So our girl goes looking for the garden and comes across our friend Silas. Happy days. He is with a dog, so I already love him. They're going to ride horses to Lillian. Oh, gosh.
Lillian.
Riding a horse-a-ling.
Yeah. Oh, God. To Lillian's garden. Okay. I'm never saying it again. I'm going to call her Lil. Lil Peep.
Silas. She's a little dead.
A little dead. Yeah, true. Silas and our girl are a little friendly, maybe, or at least she thinks they are. But really, it's one of those things where she's like, oh, maybe we're friends. And he's like, ew, get this thing away from me.
very sheltered growing up.
Yeah.
To be fair, everyone keeps dying, so it's very limited resources in general.
Yeah, yeah. She doesn't know who's come and who's going.
She's just here for vibes.
Cheers. Here for the vibes and the berries. When they get to the garden, it's sealed, but Ghosty is there, and she gives our girl the hint that she needs to die to walk through the walls. There's some belladonna on the ground at the entrance, and when she nom nom nom, Death is there. And also convenient, Silas lost her before she arrived at the gate.
Oh my god, where did she go?
Oh my god,
where is she?
This bitch in a giant ball gown because the error, like, and he's like, oh gosh, she outran me.
Yeah, damn. Even though I'm on horseback.
With a dog.
We get this quote, which is Cygnus saying, am I annoying you, sir? And Death says, at times, and other times, you are an endless annoyance. Always, though, you are a fascination. That's beautiful. Death helps her through the wall of the garden, and he tells her that everything has a cost, aka Auntie's death meant that another death had to be spared, aka Blythe. So she technically saved Blythe without knowing it. And then there's some like banter between our girl and Death, and we're here for it. And we end up finding out that Lillian was murdered. and the person who did it is trying to kill Blythe too. Not a slay.
Well, they're trying. They're trying their best, actually, to slay.
Attempted slay.
One successful slay?
One successful slay. One unsuccessful slay.
Or an unfinished slay.
Oh, unfinished slay.
Oh, leave us on our toes. Silas is waiting for her when Death disappears. Coincidence? I think fucking not. They are going to work together to help solve the murders and save Blythe. We end up getting like a really weird interaction with Elijah here where we learn unexpectedly that he does actually like his kids, but he's just very sad. So unexpected.
Oh no, a man who doesn't know how to convey his feelings.
Yeah. Ah, shocking.
Big shock.
Crazy.
Percy is sneaking about and he's sad because he thinks his daddy doesn't love him anymore. Our girl tries to comfort him by being like, grief is grief, baby. You just gotta live. But in this moment, he notices her little like grubby skirts because she was playing in the mud garden making mud pies, but he just ignores it.
Not the mud pies.
She's just in the dirt like a little rat.
We jump ahead a few weeks, which seems odd considering our girl, Cygna, is desperate in all caps to return to the house immediately to solve the murder mystery. So what?
Yeah.
Instead of looking for a psycho killer, we get to sit in with Blythe as she has tea and scones with the other single ladies in the area. How fun. All Cygna has to do is remember what is written in her mother's guide to pleasing the patriarchy and she will be fine.
Ew.
Next minute, one of the single ladies is her ex-bestie, Charlotte, who ditched her when she found out her mother was doing the dirty with Cygna's uncle. Charlotte pretends our girl doesn't exist. And honestly, a bit harsh. It's not as if Cygna was the one sleeping with her mother, though that would make for an interesting story.
Oh my god. Yes, Cygna.
It's like, why are you mad? Yeah. Fuck your friend's mum.
Yeah. Yes. Your mum will do.
Yes.
Cygna is being shamed for eating three scones instead of two when Shadow Daddy Deck appears. Turns out when they are both near someone who is dying, Cygna can just have a good old chat with him without having to kill herself to do so.
So convenient. I love it.
Daddy Death is smooth as fuck, and to be honest, every time he says little bird, I get the fighting flutters. Yes. He hovers around these girls and threatens to kill them, mostly because they're shaming her. They end the tea party after talking about this year's eligible bachelors, and it's honestly reminding me a little bit of Bridgerton, and I'm here for it. Death and Cygna spend more time yeeting scones and insults at one another. Mm-hmm. He tells her she could do so much better and that he knows her, she can have so much power. And Cygna's like, no, I don't need you. I want to be meek and boring like all the other women. And Death is like, too bad. Meet me at midnight for training. Bye.
Also, bitch. Why would you want to be basic when you could be Death?
I think she's trying to please her dead mother that she never met.
Yeah, that does seem to be a vibe.
After another etiquette lesson, Cygna and Percy Jackson go and visit Bly. I couldn't not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like to be. So he is now forever known as Percy Jackson. They go and visit Blythe. Our girl is trying to be subtle in hunting for the poison by just casually helping herself to Blythe's snacks and tea. She discovers belladonna in the tea and casually announces that Blythe is being poisoned and that both her and Percy need to be careful. Cygna now has a new suspect. Elaine. Suspicious name, to be honest.
Yeah, we don't trust Elaine.
We jump to Elaine being subtly interrogated by our girl Cygna, and honestly, there wasn't much to learn other than Elaine delivers medicine but doesn't make it. Yeah. A suspicious looking letter is shoved under the door. It's from everyone's favorite stable boy, Silas. He's asking her to meet him at 11, an hour before she's supposed to meet with Death. Coincidence?
I think not.
Definitely not. Cygna is sneaking out when she bumps into the creepy uncle. He's about to drag her back to her room when he decides following poor Marjorie is a better idea. When Cygna arrives to meet Silas, he asks her if she stopped for scones on the way.
Scones?
scones.
How do you know?
How do you know?
I actually really want a scone now.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah. Anyway, they get to the crazed gentleman's club and Silas picks the locks with such ease. Signa only then thinks to herself, hang on, I barely know this man and now I'm breaking into a building with him.
Yeah.
They rush inside and hide in a coat closet where Signa's inner thoughts about Silas's hard body behind her has me feeling all hot and bothered. Honestly. Creepy uncle and Marjorie enter. He basically tells her she needs to seduce sad dad so he can take over the business. When Marge refuses, old mate slaps her in the face before she basically tells him to get fucked.
Fucking hell.
Bit intense.
SNS. That's our duo.
SNS. They go adventuring through the club into sad dad's office. They find a family photo with a letter on it. Basically, Elijah has been ruining the business for Lillian's death, not after. The plot thickens. Signa tries to get back to her room through the tunnels, but Shadow Daddy Death has other plans. She is late to meet training and hears disappointment. We never disappoint our Shadow Daddy.
No.
After she yelled at him more for killing everyone in her life, he tells her why they died. He was protecting her, trying to give her a better life and hoping the next family would be better. Suddenly, she's gone from hating him to being curious, aka horny for death. Same though.
Yeah, honestly, same. You would kill people to make me, like, happy?
Slay, here's my list.
They hold hands and she turns invisible and they fly through walls before landing back in her bedroom. He says goodbye and she no longer feels alone. How cute. Back to more etiquette lessons and Percy Jackson is dancing with Signa. Sad dad watches them from the doorway when suddenly creepy uncle appears. He tells Percy and Signa to keep dancing. Bit weird.
It is. He's kind of like, don't you dare stop dancing with your cousin.
You're like, yeah. I'm like, you're a bit too into this.
That's a bit aggressive, sir.
This is a bit fucked. This is a bit incesty.
Yeah, it's given incest.
I mean, I know it's the 1850s, but like.
Oh, yeah. Dear.
It's given me the ick.
Signa pops in to visit Blythe again, testing her food for poison. They chat about men. And Blythe comes through and basically says, fuck it, I'll never get married. Men suck and I want to be single forever and do what I want. And I love that for her.
Fuck yeah.
Slay.
Blythe has a little nap and Death appears again to warn Signa that Blythe will likely die in a week. No pressure or anything.
Yeah.
Signa goes hunting for the library to find the miracle cure with Silas, of course, who had snuck into her bedroom by climbing up a tree.
Sneaky bastard.
When they get to the library, they discover another spirit. This guy died in his sleep, trying to read every book in the library and honestly goals.
Yeah, he seemed like he went out doing what he loved.
Right?
Yeah.
I couldn't think of a better way to go.
I'm happy for
other
you.
Than fucking, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Take me out.
If I'm getting fucked by death while I'm reading, fantastic.
Oh, he helps them by yeeting books at them and they discover a cure.
He's just like, simple enough. Take this knowledge!
They have to go to an apothecary to get the bean cure. And Percy comes along because, of course, a woman can never be left alone.
Of course.
He's so embarrassed to be seen there that he's a right old cunt to Signa and the old biddy who helps her. They get a cure and then are greeted by all the single ladies and some hot lord outside. They all go and have tea and crumpets and scones and Signa has a miserable time trying to be proper. Honestly, I couldn't think of anything worse.
Yeah. Trying to be polite when all I want to do is sit there and be like, have you read Monster Romance?
Honestly. They get back home and give Blythe the antidote. She throws up a lot and cured. Huzzah!
Huzzah!
Silas is hanging in her room again and this man is just begging to get caught. He tells her that he's helping her because by doing so, he's helping the woman that he cares about.
I thought you were going to say he's begging to be fucked. He's like, actually...
Signa.
She's coming and he's like... Nothing. Straight face like this.
I mean, caught fuck, same thing, really.
And it's like probably that decade where they had the pants where there was the button on the front and the flap would open, so it's just at the back. The flap's down.
Oh my god, it's like a nappy. I can't.
He's like, don't mind the mess.
Take me as I am.
Death is there to continue her training and he tells her he believes she is a reaper. Like, duh. He asks for her hand. Like, obviously, have we not got to that point yet?
Obviously.
For her hand and to trust him before he moves behind her, trailing his hand up to brush against her neck. Honestly, I was screaming at this point. He asks her what she feels, and to be honest, I'd hope she would say his boner, but alas, she only feels life.
Oh, disappointing.
Missed opportunity.
Right? Death brushes her hip and asks, is this okay? And I'm like, fuck, yes. Please say yes.
Go further.
Keep going. Yes. Shadow Daddy comes out to play as his shadows unleash, brushing up her thighs in cold, smooth strokes, and fuck me now, I have a boner.
Oh my god.
Big slay.
What is up with shadows?
And at this stage, you don't know what's under the shadows, like, because all there are shadows and then occasionally like a hand, but it's a gloved hand as well. So you're like, we don't know what we're working with, and yet these shadows are working.
I read shadow, that it's a shadow monster. It's just simply a shadow. So I'm like, I am here. I am ready. I know like, how I've this goes down. Knowledge.
Yeah. I like this wreck. Anyway, much to everyone's disappointment, she decides it's too much and she wasn't ready to accept that she was also deaf. Signa went to bed probably after having a cold shower, because I definitely did.
Absolutely. Or a solid wank.
That or too. Both.
Yeah. Blythe was recovering because Miracle Bean, when Signa receives a letter from that hot lord guy requesting a promenade, Signa says, thanks, but nah, I nearly fucked death last night, so better not.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Better not. I feel like if death was a jealous lover, you're like, I should probably not stick that on innocent civilians.
No, I should not.
Signa went back to the library and found it on fire. Old mate Ghost was pissed and decided to possess Signa. Death comes to save her naturally and she escapes the burning library. Suddenly, Silas is there because of course he is. He helps her into her room and goes to help put the fire out. After she recovers, she decides to try talking down the bond, communicating with Death through her mind. It works. He tells her how amazing she is and she is starting to believe him. Death wants to come to her room so they can almost fuck again, but our girl is playing hard to get and says goodnight, but she definitely has a wank over thoughts of him though.
Yeah, don't we all,
for
babe?
Sure.
We are now getting into like the holly and jolly like Christmas time in this book. There's like a ball, obviously. It's gotta be a ball, guys.
Of course.
It has to be a ball. So we're getting ready and Blythe gifts Signa like a gorgeous mask for this masquerade ball, because again, obviously it's a masquerade. We're in a fantasy book. Essentially, Blythe just says like, fuck everyone and you do you, boo. As Signa gets ready for the ball, she's feeling like less like herself when she's not using her powers. She learns that her mother like never cared much for society's rules either, so like this whole time she's just been trying to live up to something that her mother would not have even given a single shit about. So that seems super cool.
Someone has mummy issues. Yeah, she needs to discuss this in therapy.
Yeah, she needs to unpack that shit. Signa sees Silas like dressed as like a proper gentleman at the ball and her fanny is fluttering, but then like that handsome lord Everett Wakefield appears and they laugh as they dance and he's like a really nice guy, but it just doesn't have that death grip on her.
Play on words.
Thank you. Signa is very relatable and gets like a very drained social battery very quickly. As she goes to retreat, a hot new bombshell enters the villa and death has come, and we all will soon enough.
Say less.
He transports them to the garden so that they can be alone. And turns out she's wearing this gorgeous, like, blood red dress, right? And it was from him.
Throwing up.
Giving me Klaus Michelson, it's fine. He asks her to dance. And we get this quote. Death was perhaps the most powerful being in existence, more powerful than any king. He was as fearsome as the night, as unstoppable as the wind or the rain. And yet, though subtle, there was a tremor in his request.
Death is nervous.
We learn that Death rarely reveals his true face, but like, damn, we wanna know.
Mm-hmm.
Death says that he has waited a long time for her, and in response, she kisses him, and he kisses her back with like a bone deep hunger.
Boner deep inside her.
Yeah. Before it can escalate, he steps away. She's taken back into the party and Everett is like disappointed to have like missed the last dance with her. Too bad, my dude, because again, who's surprised that I have all these fucking quotes? Not me. The quote is, he was a kind man, yet with the brush of death upon her lips, it didn't matter how kind he was. Death was her poison and all she wanted was to consume more.
And this guy, like, he's actually quite nice. He's quite nice.
Nothing wrong with him.
Absolutely. No. He's just not dead. The celebration at the ball is broken up by Percy being poisoned. Luckily, she has one last dose of that antidote and saves him, but like the quest for the murderer just like ramps up. Signa takes some more belladonna berries and dies for a bit to go on the hunt, and she ends up finding Marjorie's journals, which do not paint a pretty picture for Miss Maid. Blythe is like on death's door again, and Signa demands Death take another life instead of Blythe. And he says, like, she is toying with fate with a capital F and playing God, but it does not stop her.
She don't care.
She's like, fuck the peasants.
Yeah, fuck the peasants.
Fuck the peasants. My cousin. Death decides that it's time for Signe to see all that he does, because obviously she just yeeted some poor sausage, so she needs the induction into Reaperhood stat. And I really like the description of the afterlife that Adeline has as light lore in this book. Like, it's like a choose your own adventure, unless you're a shit cunt, which then Death yeets you. So
eat like Michael Jackson with that child out the window, except he didn't do that. But
Signe holds Death's hand and knows that she does not need to be alone in this world anymore.
Yeah.
And bare minimum.
Bar is that low?
Bar is on the floor.
On the floor. We're doing limbo. Death shows her the soul he took instead of Blythe and asks her not to ask that of him again because it was a bit rude. When she asks why he did it for her, he says,
dying over this quote.
But because I have waited an eternity to meet you, Signe Farrow. To me, you are a song to a soul that has never known music. Light to someone who has only seen the darkness. You bring out the absolute worst in me, and I become vindictive towards those who treat you in ways I don't care for. Yet you also bring out the best in me. I want to be better because of you, better for you. In all my existence, I've asked only for one thing, for one person who might understand me and whom I could let myself touch. When I touch someone, I see the life they've lived in flashes of memories as they die. But the first time I touched you, it was your future I saw. A glimpse of you in my arms, dancing in a beautiful red dress beneath the moonlight.
Oh. It's beautiful.
I think that ruins that for me, is that he touched her when she was a baby.
Again, not in a pedophile way.
Okay.
He just chilled. He was like, I'm just gonna lurk and just make sure you're not dead. You're good? You're good? Okay, you're not being abused.
Of consent, or he.
Yeah. He's like, pursued. Are you being fed? Do you need more scones? Okay.
Are you being fed, sweet baby? Oh, is
oh,
that
now
just
you're
the heart
it
of
weird.
A heart of an unsuspecting victim?
We get a further quote. You are what I want. I know I cannot force you to want me in return, but say that you do, and I promise that I am wholly and unequivocally yours. Say that you do, and I will make this world everything for you, Signe.
It's beautiful.
What a man.
Oh, it's giving, like, Pride and Prejudice, that scene at the end in the moors where he's like, tell me to stop if you're not into this, and she's like, I am fucking silent.
Dead fucking silent.
Signe is like, why be basic when I can literally fuck Death? And that they do. They take turns becoming darkness and shadow as they fuck. And even though they kiss, she still doesn't see his face.
Who needs a face?
Post-fuck, we get like a super casual declaration. I have waited for you for a millennia, Signe Farrow. Since the dawn of this earth, I have waited. You are mine and I am yours. And together, this world is ours.
We love an age gap.
Son of time?
Son of time?
One fuck and he's like, the world is in fact your oyster.
Some golden puss, honestly.
Honestly.
Yeah. Pussy do be poppin'.
Elijah and Signe confront Byron the next day, but like the math still ain't mathing. So they're like, is it Byron who's the murderer? No. They're like, is it Marjorie who's the murderer? And they're like, no, because turns out Percy is Marjorie's son with Elijah.
What?
Whoa, 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 what?
Elijah has been trying to push Percy and Byron away because he wants them to like focus on family and joy and love rather than like capitalism. Signe struggles watching the people she loves suffer, like Death is comforting her. But then he's like, FYI, I will come for them all in the end, and not in like a jizzing on them way, and like I will yeet them from this planet way. Circle of
oh
life,
my
you know.
God, yeah, circle of life, he just comes on each of them. Simba, yeah. As he goes past.
Yeah, it's not in a your dead boyfriend's coming on your relatives kind of way, just circle of life.
Right.
Signe follows Percy into the woods because he seems to be having a bit of a menti bee and ends up finding Charlotte, and they kind of bury the hatchet. But before the conversation can go any further, smoke starts coming from Lillian's garden.
Still suspicious of Charlotte, to be honest.
Yeah.
I thought she was the killer for a really long time.
Same. When they were talking about how she makes jams and stuff, I was like,
that's suspicious.
Yeah, don't make jams.
Jam making is sus. I did suspect that one of the children was illegitimate.
Trapped.
And obviously it couldn't have been Blythe.
Yeah, Daddy also liked Blythe. So.
So Silas just pops up. He tries to tell Signe to run, but obviously she does not because she is the main character.
Why would she do something practical? No,
it's for the plot. And then we find out, plot twist, Percy is the one who set the garden on fire. That seems super odd. Signe allows Lillian to possess her, and then we get another plot twist that it was Percy who poisoned Lillian, but it was by accident. He was trying to kill Mo.
Marjorie. You killed your mother trying to kill your mother.
That came out of nowhere. But also, how do you accidentally poison the wrong person?
He was like scared of people finding out that he was a bastard and that destroying his family. So instead, he just actually destroyed his family.
Yeah.
So
I was like, I didn't see him coming.
I thought it was going to be Byron, honestly.
Byron was too much for me. I was like, it's too obvious for him.
Too obvious. I was suspecting Charlotte most of the time. Yeah.
Well, I'm proud of Adeline for actually pulling a fast one on all of us, and none of us saw it coming. So Percy then really leans into the whole being a murderer thing and tries to stab Signa. Silas steps in the way and like takes the knife to his barn hand. And we're like, oh gosh, no, not his hand. He needs that to like finger bang us later. But it's okay because his hand's not bleeding. And Silas like does a really dramatic, like he looks over his shoulder and he's like, I'm sorry, little bird. And then, oh my God, he's death.
Oh my God, big reveal that none of us saw coming.
The curtain comes down, the cloak comes off, the cop comes out.
He's spinning it around.
You little whirly whirls.
Windmill. Death basically gives Signa a choice. Like, one, she could let Percy live and he'll face trial and he'll be hanged. Or she could claim his life and give his remaining time to Blythe.
Obvious choice.
We have, like, this lovely moment where Signa lets go of her fears and worries and decides, like, you know what? Fuck it up. I'm going to be a Reaper. And she calls on her power and cages Percy. And then, you know, that fun dog that we mentioned in one sentence? Turns out that's a hellhound. And she just goes, there you go, Schnacky. We're crate training. Lily and Spirit then visit Signa. But then Elijah is there looking for his dead wife's ghost. The loyalty.
Oh, right?
You loved her so much.
My heart.
Lillian passes on into the afterlife, but it's like a super sad moment. And when Signa sits down with Death to get her answers, we learn that Silas never existed. Like, he was invisible this whole time.
It's fucking like Pharaoh when she's in the Emlyn's like court for the first time and she's like, everyone else is glamoured. She can't see everyone else. And she's like,
I'm creeping out.
I am so sneaky right now.
And they're like, oh my God. Look at this bitch guy.
How stupid she is.
Oh gosh. Death was wearing Silas's face as he wanted to get to know Signa, like as a normal person.
It's and giving Silence of the Lambs.
Death wants to continue to be with Signa though, and she is like, obviously, babe, we just fucked. I'm not going back.
You just put a shadow baby in me. Like, what do you want from
she
me?
She is
ain't no one and done.
Flash forward, Signa is now 20 and has inherited her fortune, but has stayed to look after Blythe. Marjorie and Signa speak, and they're like the only two people who know that it was Percy poisoning everyone. Everyone else just thinks that he like ran away. But now that no one's dying, it's gonna be harder for Death and Signa to see each other. And in a super unexpected event, Death says that she could literally fuck her mortal life away to her heart's content because he'll be there for the immortal part of it. So he's like, go and slut it up, my gal.
Yeah, but like, will she be like 80 when she becomes Death?
I don't know. But he's like, I'm happy, babe. Like, you do you. You want kids? Like, go fuck someone, get kids. Like, live, laugh, laugh, my dude.
You know what? We love a supportive king.
We do.
Yeah, but also, no.
Yeah.
Go. Be with Death. Fuck this life.
Fuck this life.
Yeet humanity, just fuck death.
Especially being a woman in the 1800s. Fuck that.
She probably should only live another 10 years.
Absolutely. We then get the eulogy. And there is another ball. And, like, Signa is missing Death. And she's been hoping to, like, become a spinster, which I love.
We love.
But none other than Everett Wakefield is back and ready to try again for our gal. Wowzers, okay.
There's nothing actually wrong with this man.
No.
He's really nice, honestly.
So beige.
Yeah, he's very beige. Basically, the Hawthorns and the Wakefields are joining up in a business venture and everyone's celebrating like la-di-da-di-da, but then tragedy strikes.
Celebrating.
They're all celibate.
I was going to say,
no one's fucking.
We are celebrating.
Signa's like, if I'm not fucking a Grim Reaper, no one is having
Not in this house.
No, they're all celebrating la-di-da-di-da. But obviously tragedy strikes. We can't have the good vibes and like the Duke just like is coughing up blood, and so that's a problem. And then Death appears, and he's like, oh my god, hi babe, what's up, it's so good to see you.
Literally killed a man so he could fuck his girl.
Yeah, he's like, ah, yay. But then a hot new bombshell enters the manor, and we end the book with this moment. Fate is a funny thing, isn't it? The man's voice sounded as ancient as the earth itself, the words such a low rumble that they caused the flutes of champagne to quake. Signa leaned back into Death's grip as those golden eyes turned to her, unable to look away. She realized at once who they belonged to. What a pleasure it is to finally meet you, Signa Farrow, Fate whispered. It would appear that you have another murder to solve.
Imagine two of them though, so Death on one end, Fate on the other.
Rotisserie.
One in each hole.
Mm-hmm.
I love chicken.
Mm-hmm. Rotisserie chicken it up.
But that's it. That's Belladonna all wrapped up in a lovely cute bow for you all.
Love.
In terms of a music reference, You and I by the name looks like Paris, but it's a V instead of a A, so I want to say Purvis.
That's actually pelvis.
Proves. The lyrics are, we can meet in the middle, body and souls collide, dance in the moonlight where all the stars align, oh you and I, oh you and I. But for now we stay so far till our lonely limbs connect. I can't keep you in these arms, so I'll keep you in my mind. And it was giving like them dancing in the red dress, and then like obviously they talk in their minds.
I love it.
I have also found a lot of fan art. So to start off with, by Dazzling Jedi, we have Signa in the red dress with the black ribbon around her neck and like some just like little purple ghostly hands touching her collarbones all scandalously
beautiful. Mm-hmm.
By Jane_Dark_7, again we've got Signa in a red dress. It's gonna be a lot of Signa in the red dress, an ongoing thing.
I love like the Belladonna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the like dress the as well. Belladonna berries coming out, there's a little bird on her shoulder
coming out of the ta-ta titties.
Oh, touch of magic design.
Mm-hmm. And then Gilbert naturally. Like obviously Farrell, and they've done portraits of Signa and Death when he shows up to the ball and he's like, what's up? Giving Malfoy.
You know, yes! I see that in this fan art.
By Hatchet Work, we've got another one of Death without a mask.
Beautiful.
Then by one of my favorite artists of all time, we have Eliziana the One, and that Signa with the red dress, and then like Death just kind of like, there's a skeletal arm at one bit, there's a glove at another bit, there's a lot going on and I'm unsure of the logistics, but I don't question it.
Yeah.
By Abigail_Larson is Death and Signa dancing, so like very Grim Reaper-y, and Abigail Larson's artwork is super goth, so it's just perfect.
And also wow. Like her titties.
Her tits look great. I'm so happy. Happy for
yep. So happy for her. This next one though is my absolute favorite. This is fucking beautiful,
and I know you love this artist as well, which is Sage and Other Herbs, and that's Signa and Death. And Death is so tall.
We love a tall king.
And also and her hair, stunning. Yeah.
Then by Luxury_Banshee, we have Death and Signa dancing with their masks on.
Fucking love a masquerade.
Love a masquerade. And then by Art of Frost and Flame, and they have done one of Signa where her heterochromia eyes are just really popping.
Love.
Also titties.
Her eyes and her titties, yeah.
Eyes and titties, yeah. Again, there's an ongoing theme here. But yeah, that is a bunch of fan art. There's more out there, but I tried to control myself.
Good for you.
Thank you so much for joining us, Emily. It was amazing to have you on this little journey.
No problem. Happy to be here.
Hopefully we'll get you back soon for some more things.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I'm so excited.
Well, next up, we actually have a very special episode. So for those of you who follow my TikTok, I have a series called Weird, Crazy, Fucked Up Books, where I basically find the most outrageous, crazy books that I can find. And I love it. It's like my favorite pastime now. I like finding the most crazy books that I can. I think it's hilarious. And so I'm forcing the podcast to do it. You're fucking welcome. So we're going to have Ellie and Claire back. So the gang is back together. Basically, me and Brian are going to be traumatizing Ellie and Claire for that entire episode. So get fucking ready.
Cannot wait to listen.
Well, thank you guys for joining us for another episode, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube if you haven't already at A Book and a Bev Podcast.
Please rate, like, and subscribe. We hear that helps.
We love and appreciate you, and we'll see you next week.